67.
67.
Let's turn to number 67 in the Grace and Glory. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, oh, worth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangel in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus, the Herb's excellent greatness. Praise Him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and King. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Hallelujah.
200.
Him.
slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in disarray. I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Blessed be the name of Jesus. I'm so glad he took me in. He's forgiven my transgressions. He has cleansed my heart from sin. I will praise him, I will praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the three in one. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. There's within my heart a melody, Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus wept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Amen. Jesus, 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 sweetest keeps me singing as I go. Feasting on the riches of His grace, resting 'neath His sheltering wing, always looking on His smiling face, and that is why I shout and sing. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Though sometimes He leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see His footprints all the way. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Soon He's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with Him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name.
Thank you.
Jesus Christ is Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let me be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Praise God. God is good. I'm going to read a song to you. Sometimes I don't really trust my voice anymore. So, and I think I've sang this before. It's like a poem. Praise the Lord. It's called Because He Loved Me So. I often stop and wonder why the King of realms beyond the sky should choose to live for me and die. It was because He loved me so. His grace alone can fathom sin. It makes the heart as white as snow. It plants the light of love within, and all because He loves me so. Because He loves me so. Because He loves me so. He bled and died on Calvary because He loves me so. His footsteps lead me all the way. He guards my path wherever I go. He turns earth's darkest night to day. It is because He loves me so. His voice, and soon His voice, shall bid me come to heights supreme I long to go, where I shall reach my final home, and all because He loves me so. Because He loves me so. Because He loves me so. He bled and died on Calvary. Because He loves me so. Can you sing that with me? You've probably never heard it before, but just very few words. Because He loved me so. Because He loves me so. He bled and died on Calvary. Because He loves me so. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for His love for us. And he loves us. Oh, hallelujah. We were so unlovely. Oh, but he loved the human race and he came down to die for us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord our God. Praise the Lord. He loves us so. And I think I speak on this every once in a while, but I didn't even know what to title it exactly. I started out, love is of God, and then I thought the love of God and God's love. So it's about God's love for us, how much he loves us. Praise the Lord. I just marvel at it that he could love us. The human race has done some terrible things to God, you know that? Even yet today, many people are going against God. Let's ask the Lord to bless this word. Father, we thank you for the wonderful word of God and for the truth that you love us so much. Oh, our hearts just are so full of it, dear Lord, that you love us so much. Oh, God, bless this word today. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Father. Hallelujah. We're not going to turn to this first verse, but it's in Jeremiah, and it's a beautiful verse. It's verse 31, verse 3. It said, Jesus, or God the Father, actually talking here, and he says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Isn't that a beautiful verse? And that word everlasting is such a beautiful word in the Hebrew. It means perpetual. Do you know what perpetual is? Have you ever seen a little gizmo that just moves and moves and moves and moves and moves and just keeps on going and keep on going? And somebody has it on a desk usually and everybody's looking at it trying to figure out if it's going to stop. That's what perpetual means. It means continuous and without end. God has loved us with a continuous love. He never gave up on mankind because he had a plan, didn't he? The plan was that the Son of God would come and it would be so wonderful that that holy Son of God would give his life for us that we might become the children of God. Oh, how precious, how precious. We're living in the end of time. I really believe it. Believe that Christ is going to come at any time. And it behooves us to reciprocate that love toward God and toward Christ. How much do we really love him? How much do you and I really love the Lord? Are we willing to go all the way with God and yield ourselves completely to him and do what he asks us to do? Or are we holding back all the time? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we're going to look in 1 John, the 4th chapter. This book's first and second and third John are written by John the Apostle, the same one that wrote the Gospel of John, the same one that wrote the book of Revelation. And 1 John, over toward the back of our New Testament. And in this book also, he talks so much about the love of God. He does it in the book of John also, the St. John. He talks about how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to us. He talks many times about Jesus saying how much he loves them. And so we're going to begin reading in, we're going to go to the third chapter of 1 John. Let's just read the first two verses of chapter 3 of 1 John. He says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it did not know him, because it knew him not. What manner of love? You know, that means that the love that the Lord God has for us is peculiar. You know, we use the word peculiar as looking strange or something. That person is peculiar. But it doesn't just mean that. It has a meaning of being unique. And so unique is what the love of God is. Who would love a rotten bunch of people like we were before we knew the Lord? Which of us would put up with all the stuff that the human race does? And yet God keeps offering his love to whosoever will. And we are called the sons of God. He bestowed this upon us. It means he granted it to us. He said, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved and you will become my children. And as you grow in Christ, you will become my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. We're the sons of God. We're the children of the living God because of his love. Now verse 2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven and wait till he says, you know, they have it pictured like here's the gate to heaven and the people come up there and he says, you can't come in. And he sends someone away. That isn't the way it is at all. Everyone who knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior is going to enter right into the gate. Praise the Lord. Now we are the sons of God. Right now you're a child of the living God. And that is an eternal salvation. That is a new life of Christ which will never end because you have received him. Now we are the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. It hasn't appeared to me what I shall be. I know we're going to be glorified. That means we're going to have a new body. We're going to look like the Lord's in some way, spiritually speaking. We'll have his light upon us. But whatever that is, we don't yet know yet what it's going to appear. But when he shall appear, he's going to appear to us one of these days, folks. Oh, I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait. I used to say that when I was a child. My mother said, you're too impatient. Just, you're going to have to wait. So quit saying that. She would tell me. But I can hardly wait. I can hardly wait that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We're going to have a glorified state, a glorified body just like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Now we have a pure new life of Christ within us, but as we walk on this road going to the heavenly place, the Lord is dealing with us all the time, teaching us how to grow in Christ and become more like Jesus every day in how we act, how we walk, what we do. More like Jesus. There's a song that says that. More like Jesus, I would know. I would like to be like Jesus, the song says. That's what I hope each one of us really feel in our hearts and lives, that we want to love God and love Lord Jesus so supremely that he is number one and he's the one we please. Not ourselves or some other person, but we please the Lord. We seek after him. Now in chapter 4, we're going to read a few verses. Chapter 4, again, our beloved John, the prophet, the apostle, we're going to begin reading with verse 3. Every spirit that confesseth not Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist. And we have that in the world today, that Jesus is just was just a good man, that he was tempted. They have Jesus tempted now in a movie of having something to do with Mary Magdalene. And all of this stuff that they put on the screen, and it is defiling because it is not true. It's causing the world, the whole world, it's many in the world, are going the other way, aren't they? But it says, every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereby we have heard that it should come, but even now already is in the world. It was already in the world at the time of John back there as he was with the Lord Jesus Christ and as a disciple. And now it is even worse. Now, he says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because you are saved, you have done an overcoming step, in a sense. By the power of God, you are set free from this world. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but that's only the first step. The first and greatest step, of course, and then become a child of God. But then after that, to really yield our life to the Lord and realize how much He loves us. And that's the theme of this message. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. The spirits, the evil spirits, the things of the world that will entice us. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And I wrote in my margin here, this is a continuing effect. Of course we know Jesus is greater than us, right? We know God is greater than us, but how about that effect on our life all the time? Till we reach heaven, till we come into that place where He calls us away. He is there all the time. He is greater than us. He is more powerful than us. He knows all of our troubles, our trials, everything about us, and He cares for every bit. He cares for everything that concerns us. Praise the Lord, a continuing effect. Now, going on down. So, in you, He says, little children, you have overcome them, but Christ, greater is He that is in you. Speaks of being born again, made a new creation in Christ. Praise the Lord. We have overcome them. This is our first step of overcoming, is by being saved. We don't let the world hold us back. We come to know Jesus as our Savior. Praise the Lord. Now look down in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Now, this word love is our word that we like a lot. It's called, in the Greek, it's agape. It's not, there are other words in the Greek for love, as we have been taught before. There's eros, which is the love of a man for a woman, that kind of love. But then there's friendship love, which is, I had it on the tip of my tongue. Phileo, yeah, phileo love, that's friendship love. That's what Peter was answering Jesus back with when Jesus said, do you love me? Agape love, which is God's love, divine love, Peter says, yes, I have phileo, I don't know why I can't remember that, I know it well, phileo love. Yes, Lord, I have phileo love for you. That isn't the kind of love that God wants in us. And when we are born again, we receive this beautiful love of God as our nature. We have a new nature in us, and that new nature has love. Love is a great word and very, very complex. For love is of God. Love is generated by God. The new life of Christ in us generates love. And everyone that loveth is born of God. See, it shows we've had a new birth because people pretend they love. But this is not what this is speaking about. Love that comes from this new nature is really God in us. Praise the Lord. The natural child has characteristics of his parents. We are reborn. We are born again with the nature of God, which is love. Praise the Lord. Paul talks about it in Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first 20 names. And it's agape that he's talking about, the love of God. So maybe we might say to our husband or someone we love in the natural, we may say, I love you, but we're not usually saying agape love. But I found in my marriage that as life went on, and trials and tests, that agape love became the most significant and the most important. To love as the Lord Jesus Christ loved. Praise the Lord. It's a manifestation of the new life of Christ in us because of the new birth. Praise the Lord. In this verse, we see that we're born of God and we know God. Two things. Be born of God, which all of us here are born of God. Don't doubt that. You have a salvation. in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said it was eternal, and it means that. Praise the Lord. You are born of God, and you know God, and we have the privilege of becoming more and more in the knowledge of God. As we yield ourselves, as we yield our minds to God, He's teaching us more and more and more about Him and the Lord Jesus Christ, precious Lord Jesus. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. When you are born again, that new life of Christ that came into your heart, you are a new creation, that emits love, this kind of love. I was really impressed by this as I was studying, and I thought, I wonder how many of us truly think about in our daily life if our activities toward others is really showing the love of God. That's a good question. I think all of us that it's very, very important, because Jesus Christ is going to come back again and the bride of Christ is going to be ready to go. And this love is going to be perfected in that company of believers. Loving one another. I thought about it. Never, ever doing anything to spite someone else or that might hurt them in some respect. That's what we have to do as overcomers. A lot of times we like to do all manner of kinds of things. When people are mistreating us or we're going through some trial, we don't think that person is worthy of love. But the Lord says for us to love as God loves us. God never gives up on us. He always is caring about us and our welfare. And that's how we should be toward everybody. Not just people that we like. Some people we have a little hard time liking them. And I can see that. But down in our heart and our soul, we need to be showing love. Love toward those people that are unlovely. And sometimes we may be wrong. Maybe they're not so unlovely. But we need to be careful that we love. He says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. See, as you begin to really know the Lord in a deeper way all the time, then that love of God should just be manifest constantly in your life, where you're forgiving of others and you are praying for others. You're concerned about others. The Amplified Version says, he, speaking of God, is the originator of love. It is the enduring attribute of his nature. He is the originator of love. It is the enduring attribute of his nature. One thing I know in my life after this many years is that you can't just grit your teeth and say, I'm going to love them. It doesn't work that way. People are bad. They can do bad things to us. But when we really love the Lord and we want to please Him, we learn that that new life of Christ reaches out to people that are unlovely, people that are maybe mistreat us or that we don't like real well. But praise the Lord that He's working. Now notice in verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. How did God show His love toward us? He gave the most important thing in his whole life. And that goes ahead to say that. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I wonder sometimes, you think it affected God the Father? When he looked down there on the cross, his Son was dying and giving his all for us and for the whole world. And God had to turn his back on his Son? What kind of love was it that he had for us that he would do that? Turn his back on his only Son. It's amazing to me. God showed his love. He manifested. The word manifested means to render apparent He didn't just sit up there and said, I love you down there. Try to be good. I'll love you more if you're very good.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. He manifested his love. Isn't that a beautiful thought? He rendered it apparent. It was apparent. It's apparent to the whole world that he loved us. He gave his son to die such a horrible death. He loved us that much. He made it plain for all to see. And verse 10, herein is love. John says, that's what love is like. Love sacrifices. Love is willing to go and help someone else even when it hurts us. Maybe we do without something because somebody else can have something. That's what divine love does. We need to be aware of people around us that need, have needs. We were able to distribute the missionary money last evening. I sat down and worked on that. And we still are giving money to the Help House because the Help House is like missionaries. They're Christian people. They just got a new man down there that's the leader of their group now, volunteer. There's a pastor of a church. And they help people. Over 200 and something people get groceries there each month. And there are so many other things to help people. And sometimes we are guilty of not caring that much. I've got my stuff. I've got plenty. And I'm thankful for it. And that's the way it is. You know. But there are people that are very, very needy. And it's a blessing to give. It's a blessing to help one another. Glory to God. Not just our group either. He leads us many times to help others. All right. Verse 10. Herein is love. In this kind of attitude that God our Father had. Not that we loved God. How far could our love, our natural love go? Some people have that toward God, you know. Oh yeah, he's up there. Yeah, I love him. Yeah, but it's not manifested in their life that they really love God. But herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and that he sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a big word. You think about God being your, or Jesus Christ being your propitiation. It means the mercy seat. In the Old Testament, where they sprinkled the blood on the altar of the mercy seat once a year on the Great Day of Atonement, it rolled the sins ahead a whole year. The sins of Israel, they'd recite all of that, and for a whole year, they were in the favor of God, and they'd obeyed him. Then what they, aren't you glad you don't have to do that? Praise the Lord, I am. But praise the Lord. He is our, and it also means, see, when they put the blood on the altar, they sprinkled it there, it covered the sins. And that's what this means. His blood covered us, covers us, and made us his children. Verse 10, herein is love. Praise the Lord. This is what love is all about. Not shed abroad, I'm just going to quote the scripture. You probably remember it. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The Holy Spirit is given unto you as an extra, not an extra saying it's not necessary, but to let you see how much God loves you. Praise the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Shed abroad. God's love is shed abroad by the Holy Ghost. And he, the Holy Ghost, helps us to really understand the love of God then, doesn't it? And that word to be shed abroad means to pour forth, to gush out, to run greedily out. So the love of God through the Holy Spirit isn't just a little tiny bit. I love you. Like I used to say to my mama. You probably said that to your mama. She said that to you, but she meant it. When we were little, we didn't know really what love was, did we? And that's how we are in the spiritual. Until we come really to the place that we understand the love of God, what he did for us and what he's continuing to do for us all the time. This love of God is poured out on us. It talks of extravagance. It was extravagant for the Lord to send his son, for God to send his son. Couldn't there have been a different plan? No. God would have used it. But he poured it out on us. He poured it forth. It gushed out. It ran greedily out. How far is the love of God? It can never, ever cease. Verse 12 down here in 1 John says, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. His love is perfected. That's what's happening right now in our lives, is he is allowing trials and tests in our lives to perfect us. See, we want to be like Jesus. You ever say that? I want to be like you, Lord. Change my life. Well, God heard that prayer. And he is going to work in you through trials and tests until your love is perfected in Christ. It needs to be perfected. It isn't there yet. Or he would have stopped all of the action, all of the things that are happening. How is the effect of love shown in our lives? Is the love perfected? How is it shown in your life? Do we really love Jesus and God above everything else? Do we love other people? That's one of the biggest tests, isn't it, to love others that are unlovely or that we don't care for. But if we truly love God, then it says God dwells in us. I think dwelleth in us has a deeper meaning than just for Christ to be in our heart. We know Christ is in us, but to me, dwelling speaks of like moving old furniture in. I'm going to live here. This is where I'm going to be. And that word actually means to stay, to abide, to be present, to stand. So his love comes into our life and he begins to perfect us because we're not perfect yet. I'm not perfect yet, people. You already know that. I know that about you too, because you wouldn't be here if you were perfect. You'd be taken to heaven already. But his love is perfected in us. It comes first from the new birth. He gives us eternal life. He's always with us. But we may fail to yield to the Holy Spirit and not let him really manifest love. The Holy Spirit sheds abroad this love of God in our heart. And sometimes we don't truly manifest love to everyone. We are partial. Let's not be partial. I know we care for our families and I love my family, but still, we need to be careful that we are not partial to any persons, but as far as the love of God is concerned, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It is given to us. Praise the Lord, it's shed abroad. Do we have attitudes that hurt others? Do we think we're justified in disliking or hating someone? Those are attitudes that we have because we're human, and we need to really think about that. And those kind of attitudes, we're not manifesting the love of Christ, definitely not, because hate is not God. In verse 19 of this chapter, 1 John, of the fourth chapter there, it says, we love him because he first loved us. We wouldn't have any ability to love God if it wasn't that he loved us first. He showed us his love, and then that's, he had first the love for us. He's the instigator of the love that we have in our heart. His love reached out to us, and he accepted us, his offer for salvation, and he gave us a new life. I write my sermon down in case you see me reading, because the Lord just gives me thoughts like this, and so I write them down so I'll remember. And so that's why I look at my Bible or my writing. His love reached out to us, and we accepted his offer, and he gave us a new life that is capable of loving him and others. Verse 20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not? That's a good question, isn't it? So we need to examine our actions toward others. Are we really manifesting love? In John 13:34, it says, a new commandment, Jesus speaking, I give unto you that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love one another. All men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another. It's a characteristic not of the world. The world doesn't do this. They may say they love somebody, but at the first turn, they may not show that, okay? But it's hard for us sometimes to even love those that we don't love, we don't like, or there's a problem some way. But we've got to love. And I was reminded of Romans 8. Let's turn there quickly, and we will just read and try to end up on time. Romans 8. I love this portion. If you notice in verse 39 of chapter 8, it says, it's speaking about the love of God. And so we're going to read verse 38. He says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a precious thing. No trials or tests of any kind can separate us from the love of God. Some people have been martyred for Christ. It didn't separate them from the love of God, did it? It just brought them nearer to the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Glory to God. In verse 37, it says, nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He loved us so much, he gives us the power to overcome. Isn't that beautiful? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. And Israel was told by the prophet Zephaniah, in Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee, he will save. He will rejoice over thee with singing. He will rest in his love, and he will joy over thee with singing. He will rejoice over thee with singing. Isn't that beautiful? I love to think of the Lord singing. We know Jesus sang a hymn with the disciples before he went out to the cross. You know, it tells us that in the upper room. But he is resting in his love. Now I'm going to read it in the Amplified Version. The Lord your God in your midst, a warrior who saves. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. making no mention of your past sins. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. And you might wonder, well, how did this interpreter in the Amplified Version get all of that out of what King James said up there? But isn't that the case? You know, I really appreciate King James, but oftentimes it's not quite exactly like it was in the original. They kind of altered things. So praise the Lord that he loved us so much, that he gave himself. He will be quiet in his love, making no mention of your past sins. Isn't that beautiful? Where would we be without that promise? Because every one of us have sinned, even since we've been believers. Some people don't like to talk about that, you know? But praise the Lord, we are redeemed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a song, and if you have any needs and you want to come forward for prayer, please do that, okay?
Brother Brad's coming down.
Let's turn to number 11 in the Grace and Glory. Sought me when in sin, that went to Calvary's love to win, that fills and thrills and burns like fire, makes sense be dumb and flesh retire, and meets the depths of man's desires. Oh, did bestow. Oh, love, oh, love that would not let me go. Oh, love constraining and constrained, this all-consuming uncontained, which flows and billows deep and wide, true essence of the crucified. There is no other love beside. Oh, love, oh, love that Jesus did bestow. Oh, comprehend, which even angels grasp, transcend, that Christ alone this love possessed, its fullness he made manifest, in bringing me profound its rest. Oh, Jesus did bestow. Oh, love, oh, love, oh, love that would not let me go. Oh, love that would not let me go, that moved my will and brought me low. My happy home in thee, Jesus did bestow. Oh, love, oh, love, oh, love that would not let me go. Oh, love that draws me to the sky, to reign in heaven with thee, for I, thy bride, I shall forever be. Thy glory thou wilt share with me. All honor shall be given to thee. Oh, love, oh, love, oh, love that Jesus did bestow.